Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football, baseball, little Olympic running. We won't talk a lot of Olympic running, but still worth noting that the first human being ever to run 26.2 miles in under 2 hours. It happened this weekend as well. As if we didn't have enough going on, I just can't believe one human being ran under two hours, essentially sprinted for 2 hours, and was able to break that barrier for a marathon. I can't even run a half marathon in under 2 hours. My goodness. I was just talking to my niece on Sunday morning before football started, and she asked how work was going, and we were talking about her work as well, because she has just graduated from college and she's in R&D for technology for aeronautics. And she was talking about how she's going to be moving around to various projects, and I said that'll keep it interesting. And I proceeded to tell her that's what I love about sports, is that even though the calendar is set up the same, and even though it's a lot of the same names or it's faces and themes that you might be familiar with, there's always something different. Whenever I come to work, there's always something different. Sports has this incredible way of generating history almost every time we sit down to watch, or every time they step on the field or the court or the ice. And so it's been a pretty amazing start to October, and we're still not even halfway through the month. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page named after the show. And we'll definitely get to some calls this hour, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's how you reach us inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Really appreciate all of your tweets. I haven't even opened up the Facebook page yet, but I'll get to it. But it's great to know that so many of you are out there and listening, and also as excited. I hope you're not dejected. Definitely don't be devastated. It's just sports. However, we kind of ride the wave with our favorite teams and the sports teams in our favorite cities. And certainly it was a banner day for Houston sports fans. We'll get to baseball in the finish and a little more reaction from the Houston clubhouse. By the way, they're not traveling to New York until Monday, so they're sleeping in their own beds. They're staying home. Meanwhile, the Yankees were leaving directly after their post-game responsibilities were over and returning to New York City so that they could try to establish some semblance of a normal schedule before they get to game three, which comes up on Tuesday. So we'll get to baseball here in a second. But Texans Chiefs seems like forever ago. In fact, it was still going on 12 hours ago. But this was really one of the marquee matchups of week number 6. And you could tell that the Chiefs showed up to work with a whole lot to prove. Not to mention, they had Tyreek Hill back. And that will definitely throw a jolt into your offense.
Mahomes, he may get a free play here. Houston jumping offside, and Mahomes will gun it long, trying to get a free play, and the pass is up for grabs, and it is caught inside the top five near the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City! Welcome back, the Cheetah! Not only can he run, he will track the football like no other.
Mitch Holtis with the excited call and the perfect call there on the Chiefs Radio Network. Man, if you missed the start of this game, well, you missed what was an incredible acrobatic play by Tyreek Hill. So he's got defenders on him, and here comes this cannon shot from Pat Mahomes. I mean, the ball was on a rope, and it goes 46 yards through the air, and Mahomes leaves it a little high, and Hill with the ups. I mean, elevates to get it, elevates above the defense to get it at the goal line. And it was a free play as well. So Mahomes knew he could kind of chuck and duck because there was a flag that was thrown on the defense. So on the opening drive, they get this touchdown and boom, Arrowhead is on fire. And in fact, it was 17-3 after the first quarter. Mahomes tacks on another touchdown. So you could tell they came out with something to prove. After the way the offense had been stifled and stymied against the Colts the week before, I'm sure it felt good for them to throw the football and to get out there and to actually score some points. However, in the second half, the mistakes hurt them. I'm sorry, second quarter. Second quarter, the mistakes hurt them. So Mahomes has an interception and a fumble, and both of those turnovers lead to a pair of Houston scores. Just like that, you allow your opponent back in. Not only do you limit your own opportunities when you turn the ball over, but you hand the football to your opponent on a silver platter. Now, the Texans had their own issues. They had three turnovers as well. But what they were doing, and this was incredible. I don't know that I've ever seen this before, but Houston worked this element of the game to perfection. Controlling the ball with six drives of at least 10 plays. Six drives! That lasted at least 10 plays. And like I mentioned with the Niners earlier, the Texans dominated time of possession. This is the second week in a row. Now, it didn't start out the same way as it did against the Colts, but it's the second week in a row that the Chiefs have had fewer opportunities because their opponent is controlling the ball. Remember, we asked, who do we ask? We asked, I can't remember who our guest was. Someone who covers the Chiefs, whether or not this was a blueprint for limiting Pat Mahomes. And sure it is. You control the ball, you keep him on the sidelines. Now, Kansas City is able to snag the lead middle of the third quarter on Hill's second touchdown catch. But it's a slim margin, 24-23. Deshaun Watson gets the ball back and promptly throws an interception in the red zone. So that ends the third quarter. The Chiefs have this prime opportunity. They're at home. The defense has just handed them the football back. And what do they do with it? Nothing. Nothing. A three and out. Are you kidding me? Your defense is already worn out. Having to track Deshaun Watson and all of the offensive playmakers for the Texans through these long drives. They're sucking wind. That defense needs a break. And all Mahomes and the offense can do is three and out and give the ball right back to the Texans. Again, the Chiefs' defense is exhausted. And yet the Texans go 93 yards. 93 yards. A drive that lasts 8 minutes, 32 seconds. Oh, my goodness.
Second and goal at the one. Deshaun calls for the ball. Here's the snap. Watson fakes the give, steps out to his left. Watson wants to run, and he dives for the goal line. He's in! Deshaun Watson twisting his way into the end zone to grab the lead for Houston.
Deshaun Watson spreads the ball around. He runs when necessary. He uses a bunch of playmakers. And again, the Chiefs' defense is worn out. And so he keeps them on their heels. He keeps them guessing because they have so much variety in their offense. And then you tack on the two-point conversion. And not only do the Texans take the lead, but they do it in such a way that it keeps Mahomes hanging out, watching a show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Chiefs barely hold the ball in the fourth quarter at all. Couldn't even muster a single first down. Fourth quarter at home, not a single first down. Patrick Mahomes, 19 of 35. He did have three touchdowns, but also the interception and the fumble that allowed the Texans to get some momentum there in the second quarter. And now the Chiefs have dropped back-to-back games at Arrowhead for the first time since 2015. Post-game, people asking him about his gimpy ankle and whether or not that's changing things for the KC offense.
I felt like Michael was affecting the team and the success of the offense. I would for sure move on. But at the same time, I feel like I'm still moving around. I'm still able to run, scramble, throw. And, I mean, we haven't executed a high enough success rate as offense.
Meanwhile, the Houston Texans go into Kansas City. And despite their mistakes, it wasn't pretty, it wasn't perfect. They're able to come away with a victory. Deshaun Watson, 3 total touchdowns. 280 yards, and yeah, there were mistakes and there were turnovers, but they just kept fighting, scratching, clawing.
Wonderful feeling to be able to deal with all the adversity, the up and downs of the flows of the game, and to be able to keep fighting for 60 minutes. That's what we did. We never got discouraged. We kept fighting, we kept pushing, we kept encouraging, and that's the biggest part about that this locker room.
Guys had a good week of practice. Guys practiced hard. We got a good locker room. Didn't get off to a great start. You know, turned it over, got down early. But, you know, guys were resilient today, and it was good. But, you know, again, we've got a lot of things to work on. We get back there. It's only 6 games, and we've got to, you know, keep trying to improve. We got to try to get better.
Oh, but you take that win at Arrowhead, and you run like the wind. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Looking at the AFC South, Texans. Back-to-back wins, they're at 4-2, but the Colts are right there at 3-2. Both of them, of course, coming off these victories in Kansas City. Jaguars and Titans have fallen to 2-4. As for the AFC West, Chiefs are still on top. They're at 4-2. But a lot of people out there starting to get nervous about Kansas City and the reigning NFL MVP, whether or not they truly can be a competitor, whether or not they truly can challenge the New England Patriots right now. Of course, the Pats are 6-0, or the Ravens, or the Texans, both at 4-2. So the Texans get a huge victory on the road, while the Astros, they have to fight and scratch and claw as well, but they come up with a massive victory at home.
First pitch, and Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall, looking up. See you later! See you later! See you later! See you later! Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th. 3-2, Astros win it!
A mob scene at home plate for Correa as he stomps on home plate for an exclamation point.
Complete with the train whistle in the background, the walk-off home run for Carlos Correa, Robert Ford, Steve Sparks with the play-by-play on the Astros radio network. My goodness, 5 hours, nearly 5 hours of baseball. And Correa, 2 hours earlier, had a defensive gem to throw out a runner that was attempting to score at home and keep the game tied. So the ALCS is now knotted at 1 game apiece. And as you could imagine, this one was pretty tense. Aaron Judge had a couple of RBI. He was the one that gave the Yankees the 2-1 lead. Both he and Alex Bregman looking at it from different perspectives after the fact.
Oh, it's tough. Yeah, we had a lot of chances that game. You know, we had them on the ropes, you know, basically all game, and just weren't able to seal the deal, you know, but we're confident going back home, you know, splitting the 2 games here and, you know, have 3 in the Bronx.
There was no 0-2. It was never going to be 0-2. We were going to win tonight, and we did a great job of coming out with a lot of confidence and played well.
It's easy to say after the fact, isn't it? Sure, you can say there was never going to be an 0-2. We were never going to lose this game. We were never going to head to the Bronx having dropped both games at Minute Maid Park. So Alex Bregman, with a little bit of arrogance, you can understand after the fact with the adrenaline. But of course, from Aaron Judge's perspective, they did have multiple chances to win. 2 runners on base in the top of the 11th alone. They had 2 runners on base, I believe, in the 10th inning as well. Some tense moments there for the Astros fans, as well as for their pitching staff. But 15 pitchers, 355 pitches thrown, only 5 runs that took nearly 5 hours. Man, October, there isn't anything like it. All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. There are so many ways that we could go. For instance, the Saints have won four in a row without Drew Brees. Or how about the Stephon Diggs game? Oh, and did you know Kirk Cousins can still throw the football? Maybe it's time for a change in Atlanta. I'm not suggesting Dan Quinn needs to be fired, but he might need to fire himself from defensive play calling. Holy cow. There's so much that we could talk about. The Cardinals and the Broncos going back to back. The Steelers winning on Sunday Night Football. But how about we go Seahawks next? Russell Wilson, an assault on the NFL MVP campaign. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second down and 14 with the ball at the 16. Russ has slots to both sides. Now Disley wings on the left. Russ takes the shotgun snap. Look, steps up. Got running room. 15, 10, 5. He's going to go in. Touchdown, Seahawks. Russell steps back into a shotgun with Carson beside him. Carson gets a handoff inside, and he's in easily. Touchdown, Seahawks, for Chris Carson. It took one extra play, but a nice big hole right behind his center, Justin Britt, and the Seahawks go back on top, 31-28.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now, 855-212-4CBS.
Yet another fast start for the Cleveland Browns. And it was interesting to watch the way the Chiefs and the Browns came out of the gate, both on their own fields, both desperate to erase the bad taste of what had happened the week before. So we just talked about Chiefs and Texans. Pat Mahomes against the Colts, stymied, stifled, at home, losing to Indianapolis. While the Browns were on the road, they were in Santa Clara, Monday Night Football, and only managed 3 points against that Niners defense. It was embarrassing. And so they're back home. They're hosting the Seahawks. They're desperate for a win. And they come out like a house on fire. Cleveland scores a touchdown on its first 3 drives. And yet somehow still loses this game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. After the Browns put up 20 points, the wheels fall off. They have a blocked punt and then back-to-back interceptions for Baker Mayfield. So that 20-point advantage, it's gone by the half. And then they go back and forth in the second half. Pretty competitive game in the second half. Except the Browns had squandered what they'd built. They start fast and they get messy. So Nick Chubb has a touchdown run in there, but he also has a fumble that leads to a Seattle touchdown. And every single time the Browns would do something positive, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks would answer. And man, he has been incredible to start this season. You hear the calls with Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. In this game, Wilson is 23 of 33, just shy of 300 yards, 3 total touchdowns, but he couldn't win this game by himself. He could not. It also took that defense. And so I'm really impressed, even though there's not a lot of guys left from the teams that went to the Super Bowl, the veterans they do have, like Russell Wilson, the ones that have been around, like Bobby Wagner, these are guys who set the tone, along with Pete Carroll, who's like chomping gum and marching up and down the sideline and then celebrating with the best of them when things go well.
Russell steps back into a shotgun with Carson beside him. Carson gets a handoff inside and he's in easily. Touchdown, Seahawks, for Chris Carson. It took one extra play, but a nice big hole right behind his center, Justin Britt, and the Seahawks go back on top, 31-28. Mayfield looks that way, throws the slant, ball is bobbled, it's intercepted! KJ Wright, the ball is tipped off of the receiver, Hilliard
KJ Wright is right there. He reaches out. The Browns fans are heading for the exits, and KJ Wright is heading for the end zone to kneel down and have his picture taken.
So it was Russell Wilson, and it was Chris Carson, and it was Tyler Lockett, and it's DK Metcalf, and it's that offense that generates so much traction. But then on the back end, it's the defense. Baker's third interception of the game. I don't think I'd blame this on him. Now, he definitely takes ownership of the issues with the offense. He should. He does. But that last interception, the one that ended their chances, the last of their nine lives, goes right through the hands of Dontrell Hilliard. I mean, right through his hands. As my basketball coach used to say, I'm sorry that ball hit you in the hands. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So defense first, because defense had the last laugh.
They punched him in his mouth, punched us in the mouth the moment they stepped on the field. But I felt like we weathered the storm. We were able to calm down, settle down, and start making plays. Offense made some plays. You know, we made some key plays towards the end. And I just feel like it shows our grit.
So that's Bobby Wagner, again, really setting the tone as one of the guys who's a holdover, so to speak. And he's right. The Browns came out like a house on fire, punched the Seahawks defense right in the mouth. Three drives, three touchdowns. And then they were able to stabilize. Not quite as dire with the Rams scoring on their first possession against the Niners, because that was the only score they had. But I love the way the Niners defense answered in that one as well. Couple of goal line stands. Don't give up any points the rest of the way. Well, after those first three touchdowns that the Browns were able to score early, they only had one more the rest of the way. And so you can see both of these defenses make adjustments, stabilizing. Two pretty incredible teams right now on top of the NFC West. Now, here's what's unique about the Seahawks. Of their five wins, four of them have come by 4 points or fewer. What? I mean, they're thriving under adversity, as are the New Orleans Saints, and we'll get to them after the break. Really quick, let's talk to Steven, who's in West Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing today, Amy?
I'm good.
Good, good. Just wanted to say I respect your show, man. I love listening to you. Finally got through.
That's so good. Thanks for trying.
I just wanted to talk about the Dallas Cowboys, man. First of all, I know the players, they're the ones that need to be held accountable. But when you look at the roller coaster of the Dallas Cowboys franchise, you have to kind of look at the ownership and Jerry Jones. I mean, ego has a lot to do with it. I think that when you fire a coach after a Super Bowl, and I'm talking about Jimmy Johnson, and then you keep a guy for almost 10 years who can't even get you to a NFC championship appearance, you have to kind of look at, you know, your ego. And he drafts well. I think Jerry Jones does a great job of drafting. He has a good eye for talent, but I don't think he puts the right people in place from a coaching aspect to be able to maximize our talent. So I think Jerry Jones has to take blame for a lot of the woes of the Cowboys the last 25 years.
Well, of course. I mean, he's the guy who writes the checks. Ultimately, he's the business owner. So, yes, absolutely. And he's also the general manager, which means that he's making a lot of the high-profile decisions. But I appreciate your point at the beginning. It's the athletes who have to execute. At some point, they'll have to make a coaching change if they continue in mediocrity. It's not the end of the world. I know they've lost three in a row, but they also looked pretty darn good in winning some of their games earlier. And they've lost a couple of games in which, they have struggled to generate points, but they've also lost a game on their own field in which the defense couldn't stop the Packers initially, couldn't stop Aaron Jones. So they've lost a variety of ways too, which I think is interesting. So yeah, at some point you have to change the leadership if it's not getting the job done. But they've changed a lot underneath Jason Garrett too. So I still need to see how more of this season plays out.
I think 10 years is enough to kind of know where you're going.
So you're burying the season then? I mean, you're done?
I wouldn't say I'm burying the season. At this point, I do think that you have to let Jason Garrett finish out this season. However, I think we have a lot of disciplinary issues. I think a lot of it has to do when you're in a market like the Dallas Cowboys franchise where if you don't have a disciplinary coach and if you don't have a franchise where the owner allows the coach to take control of personnel and take control of the football team, I don't think you're going to have much success.
And well, I'm not sure that Jason Garrett would change a whole lot. He doesn't seem like that kind of a guy to me. However, I just want to make sure you're disregarding the division titles, right? Like, so the division titles that have been won in the last few years, what is it, two of the last three? I'd have to think about it to go farther back. Those don't matter. The double figure wins, those don't matter. If you're not winning a Super Bowl, he needs to be gone.
I wouldn't even say a Super Bowl. We're talking about making an appearance to an NFC Championship game.
Okay, so if he doesn't get to the NFC Championship, done.
It has to be over. I just think that, you know, there's a time where you have to turn the page. And I think Jerry Jones has a problem with being able to do so. And I just think that there has to be some type of way to be able to get a coach in there who can actually, and in order to get a coach like that, you have to be willing to give up some of that control to be able to get the most out of your players. Because if Jerry Jones wanted to sit down and talk about how to brand my business, I'm all ears. But he's never coached a football team. And I think that...
Yeah, but look at the talent, though, that he's brought in. Steven, I have to let you go because we're at the bottom of the hour here. But he has brought in some pretty amazing talent, and he's paid the talent. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, these are two guys who came in together. And, I mean, Zeke, this is a guy that everybody clamored for. Pay him, pay him, pay him, pay him. He trades for Amari Cooper. I know Amari was hurt today, but Amari has changed that offense since he got there. I mean, there have been some moves made to bring in the right talent. And a few weeks ago, that's what everybody's talking about is the wealth of talent. So there's enough blame to go around. But I would agree with you about Jerry Jones' ego. I feel like every time the media asks about Jason Garrett, he digs in his heels a little bit more. I have to let you go again, Steven. Thanks so much for your phone call in West Virginia.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Second and goal from the 6. Cousins fade. Minnesota Vikings cap a fantastic opening drive this beautiful Sunday with a touchdown and a 6-0 lead. First and 10 Vikings from their own 38. Cousins from under center. Straight drop. It's another deep shot. Diggs, center of the field. Caught it on the run. 20-15-10. Touchdown! 62-yard touchdown by Stephon Diggs. It's first and 10 from their own 49. Cousins boots out to the left. He wants more. Deep. Diggs. Inside the 5, touchdown! Stephon Diggs! Kirk Cousins is annihilating the Eagles. It's a 51-yard touchdown. High formation, play action, Kirk straight drop, pats it, fires, caught Diggs, back in the end zone, touchdown! Stephon Diggs just hit the touchdown trifecta.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Did you hear Paul Allen say, "It's a beautiful day in Minnesota"? I mean, he's inside a domed stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. But it was beautiful to see the Vikings offense moving up and down the field with the greatest of ease. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This should be known as the Stephon Diggs game. Remember, he got fined recently for being late to meetings, skipping practices. He was disgruntled. He was not quite squashing the rumors that he wanted to trade, but he also wasn't happy and let everybody know it. Well, on Sunday, he became the first Viking since Randy Moss in nearly 2 decades with a pair of touchdown catches longer than 50 yards. And then his third TD was a toe tap in the back of the end zone. So Diggs goes 167 yards and 3 scores overall. Also, to boot, 18 rushing yards. It was a masterful game for Diggs, but it was also a masterful game for Kirk Cousins. Man, it's a good thing Cousins remembered how to throw the football. Phew! He was flinging the ball all over the field versus the Eagles, who were without their 2 starting cornerbacks, and it definitely showed. A season high 333 passing yards for Cousins and 4 touchdowns, which no doubt will put him in our Monday MVP poll.
Really positive day. Great to stay aggressive all the way through the game, and to have positive drives, long drives. You know, aside from the interception at the end of the half and then the drive where we had some penalties that set us back, I think we were able to move the ball pretty effectively throughout the day, run and pass. Great to have explosive plays. I think we had a number of guys who made explosive plays for us today, which is great to be able to spread it around. And I thought we protected really well, and I thought our coaching staff had a great plan.
Cousins essentially thanks everyone like you do when you accept an Emmy or an Oscar or a Gracie Award. You thank everyone that you can think of because they all had a hand in it. Yeah, Kirk Cousins, real positive day for the Minnesota Vikings. There were a pair of fourth quarter turnovers by the Eagles on last ditch attempts, so they kind of scraped together some offense, but then were unable to get anything going in the fourth quarter because the Vikings defense snuffed out any light that they might have, just huffed and puffed and out. Wentz, Carson, had 306 yards and a couple of touchdowns. But I feel like we've seen this roller coaster ride with the Eagles before. They win one in dramatic fashion like they did in Green Bay, and then they lose one in Minnesota. And yeah, it's a really tough schedule for them because, in fact, this is how it is for the NFC East. They have to match up with the NFC North. And the North right now has every single team above 500. Except you can't count out the Eagles. They've survived so much adversity and figured out how to win in the past. And Doug Peterson is kind of issuing that challenge to his team now.
We all have to take accountability, myself included. We're all in this together. It's an ownership. You know, it starts with me. I got to look at myself in the mirror and am I doing everything I can to help this football team win through decisions during the game or during the week or how we practice or whatever it might be.
It's certainly a situation they found themselves in before. And I'm not even talking about going back to their Super Bowl year when they lost Carson Wentz in early December. But how about last season? They lost him again and they had to win their way into the playoffs. And then, of course, they survived the double doink in Chicago and they have a playoff victory as well. But here they are at 3-3. They've got some really brutal injuries. A lot of teams suffering with injuries. They've got to figure out a way to keep themselves kind of up near the top of the NFC East. Even if you are riding a roller coaster ride, fact is the rest of the NFC East is also struggling. And right now, Cowboys and Eagles sit at the top at just 3-3. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So after the top of the hour, we'll get to another team that is fighting through adversity and finding unique ways to win. But that's not the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of offense between the Falcons and the Cardinals on Sunday. The Falcons defense just cannot muster a stop.
3 receiver set, 1 tight end to the left. Snap to Murray, back to throw. Dumps it off to the left side. Edmonds caught at the 5. Dives for the end zone. He's in. Touchdown, Arizona. Chase Edmonds, 2 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. Snap to Murray, rolls right. Now looking back to the left, lobs it for Williams. Caught at the 10 to the 5, and Williams is hit. Hits the pylon and is in. Touchdown.
He's on the boundary at the left. Ryan goes under center. Play fake to Freeman. Matt looks, throws, catch, Hooper, touchdown Atlanta. Ryan flips it to Freeman. He'll score standing. On the first play inside the 2-minute warning, Matt Ryan flips it to Devontae Freeman, who scores standing down to our left. And Atlanta, with 1:53 to go, is to within a point.
Ryan on to tie the game. The ball is down. The kick is up. And he missed it. He missed it wide to the left. Oh, my goodness. Bryant ripped his helmet off. He can't believe it as he walks dejected back to the Falcon sideline. Arizona 34, Atlanta 33 with 1:53 to go.
I like to use the roller coaster metaphor because it fits. It fits the season as a whole. It generally fits most teams. Well, in this case, it fits a particular game. I mean, Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons offense rallied from 17 points down. They have either a field goal or a touchdown on four of their 5 second half drives. And then Matt Bryant, who has missed three extra points in 11 seasons, has this weird wounded duck. Just a missed kick. It was brutal. And you hear that with Dave Pasch, his missed extra point inside the 2 minute warning. And so they fall a point short. And this is a near perfect game by Matt Ryan. So if you're a Falcons fan, you would know better than to blame your quarterback for this one, right? 30 of 36 for 356 yards and four touchdowns. The problem is Kyler Murray also looked near perfect. 27 of 37, 340 yards and three touchdowns. He was not sacked. Actually, if you line up the offensive numbers for each of these two teams on Sunday, they're almost identical in terms of time of possession, in terms of yards, in terms of quarterback rating, in terms of quarterback production. If the Falcons defense could come up with just one stop, it would have made a huge difference. But instead, the Falcons fall to 1-5. And it's Larry Fitzgerald and the Cardinals who have now won back-to-back games.
We're very happy where we are in terms of, you know, just productivity offensively and, you know, no sacks, no turnovers. I mean, those are the kind of days, you know, you want to have as an offense. And, you know, have we been able to kind of, you know, build on what we did in the first half? You know, we had a pretty good lull for about 20 minutes or so, you know, a couple three and outs. And, you know, I made a bonehead play on a block in the back, put us behind the chain. So, I mean, you know, there's some things that we could definitely clean up, but, you know, we were able to score in the red zone, something we've been talking a lot about. You know, instead of walking away with field goals, getting touchdown with something big was able to get us up, you know, a sizable lead.
Do you remember early in the year? In fact, they started out the season with a tie, and they had this incredible fourth quarter to come back and tie the Bengals, force overtime, and then end up in a tie. A couple of times early in the season, the first month, we saw Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, the Cardinals, have these furious rallies at the end to at least make it respectable. Well, in this case, they're the team that jumps out on top. They're aggressive. And you hear Larry Fitzgerald said, we go through a, you know, about a 20-minute lull there where the offense sputtered and stuttered. We put ourselves in a bad position, and that's when Atlanta rallied.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.